Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. You know, Paul writing to this church, he spent 3 weeks there. But as he spent 3 weeks there, they were very well informed. He taught them the truth about the gospel. And coupled with the truth about the gospel, he encourages them and instructs them in the fact that Jesus is coming again. We said last week that this is a unique characteristic of this little epistle. The other epistles, when you get to Galatians and Philippians, Colossians, which we've gone through, we see that Paul shares a lot of the same things. But this epistle is unique in that Paul couples the gospel, and he always deals with doctrine and the truths of the gospel first, and then he gets to like nitty-gritty things. We might know these things in our head, but now how do they apply to our lives practically? How do I live my life? Paul's saying that the only way I can really successfully live my life for the Lord is if I'm looking and expecting the Lord to return. 27% of the scriptures are prophecy. And so when you think that if I never talk about the second coming, if I always skip over all that, if I'm a church or if I'm a pastor that never teaches on the second coming, never, I'm ignoring 27% of the scriptures. And I think it's sad because I think there are not many that really want to deal with the prophecy. And then on top of that, when you don't deal with and you don't accept and want to teach anything about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So not only 27%, but then add to that. And so Paul, he deals with it all. He's not afraid to teach the truth of the Scriptures. And so we've dealt with what Paul shares with this church. Their struggle was that, Paul, you said Jesus is coming back. He hasn't come back. And my loved one or, you know, this person in the church has died. Are they missing out then? Have they forfeited, you know, this great blessing of experiencing the Lord's return? And so Paul, one of the main thrusts of the first letter to the Thessalonians is that no, they have not missed out. Jesus is coming. And those who have passed on are at no disadvantage. Those who are living are not at an advantage. In fact, I would say they're at the disadvantage because those who have passed on are with the Lord right now. And when the Lord comes back for the church, the dead, those who have passed on, are with the Lord. They will actually come back with the Lord in the air. And so Paul's dealt with that. Now, as he finishes up this letter, we would say he goes now to just these little practical things. I guess I look at it this way. If I know the gospel and then I'm looking for Jesus to come back and I'm living my life with that expectancy, what should my life emulate, or what should be some of the characteristics of my life? The practical things. Things that, you know, we can just look at our own lives today. I think it's awesome. So we're going to start at verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and finish a chapter. He begins by just making a statement, really identifies three things concerning leadership, concerning, I mean, I think what Paul would say is if I'm really in the gospel and I'm looking for Jesus to come back, then these are like three things that I should recognize as far as, or should be evident in my life when it comes to the leadership, or maybe a pastor, or I think what Paul was looking at was, again, the leadership of his day and those that were with him, that these should be characteristics of our life, all right? Verse 12, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And so the first thing Paul says is that we should just recognize, we should have an awareness that God has placed, that he's already dealt with that, you know, in certain ways in these epistles. When we went through the epistles to the Corinthians, he actually puts down, you know, that God organized, you know, the church, and he placed in the church pastors and prophets and teachers and those kind of things. Leadership. There's a structure that Paul has that Jesus put in the church, and so the first thing he says is just that we recognize that God has an order and that God has leadership within the church. That there are those who labor. I like the way he puts it. Not. A separate, you know, we're one body. You know, they're just co-laborers. We just work. They're leadership that works with you and among you, and then are over you in the Lord. Yeah, that there is authority. Where were we? Was it Wednesday? We're in Luke, and so. Thought it was in Luke. It was in one of the studies we're talking about the fact that there was a recognition of this centurion who was a soldier. He was a Gentile. He was a powerful man. He was over 100 other soldiers. But he had a slave. And his attitude to the slave, towards a slave, blew kind of the norm out of the water, because this centurion and having a slave in this centurion's day was nothing more than a piece of property. And the centurion's slave was sick, ready to die. It's like having an old lawnmower. Doesn't work anymore. What do? You just throw it out. What good is a slave that's no good to work anymore? Die. It's just a drain on the economy of the home or the business. Just get rid of it. I usually throw it out in the back, and then Kim gets on me. That looks like a junkyard out there. Get rid of that. And so we throw it away. This centurion loved his slave. Wow. Saw this slave as a person, as a valuable person. And he wanted to help his slave. And what's amazing is he knew that only Jesus could help him. And so he wants Jesus to heal him. He sends Jesus to Jesus to help him. But what's beautiful about that whole story is here's a man, a centurion, that had a certain reputation among his peers and among other people. And the Bible actually says, Luke actually says, that it was a good reputation, that he was spoken well of. But that didn't go to his head. And he, even though he was spoken well of, thought himself as totally unworthy. So unworthy that he said, Jesus, I don't want you in my, I don't want to really be even, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm not worthy for you to be in my home. But just speak the word. Why? Because I'm a person, I have authority, but I also know I'm under authority. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. I think that this centurion, he would have been a man to be feared. But yet, he had authority, and he was gentle, and he was loving, and he had a heart for others because he truly knew he was under authority. And so how does that tie in? I think that we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. I think that there is authority in the church, or there should be. There is an overseeing in the church. You that are older are responsible for the younger. You know, you that have walked with the Lord for a long time, you have a responsibility to be a good example to the younger ones. Certainly, if I'm in any place of leadership, I have a certain responsibility to represent the Lord and not to stumble someone that's maybe younger than I am. And so these leaders recognize that there are those who labor among you, and there are those that God's placed over you. Over you to oversee you, to admonish you, to teach you. And so that's where the pastor today would come in, that God's placed them in a position that is over. And there, as a pastor, the responsibility that I carry, I'm going to answer to the Lord. Did I teach the whole word? Did I teach the whole counsel of God? Did I rightly divide the word? Was I faithful in being truthful? You know, when I would counsel with someone, and I haven't always been that way, but you know, hopefully I've grown and I've learned that I've got to please God more than I want to please man. And so Paul says, recognize those who are over you in the Lord. Now, and admonish you, encourage you, instruct you, so on. And then number two, so recognize them. Recognize that it's a fact. And then number two, esteem them very highly. You know, sometimes that's hard. Sometimes, I think for guys it's hard. I just said, you know, how many of us think we could do it better? You know, and so what Paul's saying is that, you know what, you should be speaking highly of it. You know, you shouldn't. One of the things that breaks, you know, I think a leader's heart, and I think it broke Jesus' heart is, you know, when you know there can be. I just think of his disciples. I wonder what he thought of when they were always arguing among themselves. Which one was the best? You know, which one was the greatest? You know, he was on his way to the cross and they're arguing among themselves, wanting position and wanting power and wanting recognition. And you would have thought that they would have been saying, wow, why don't we go up and give Jesus a hug? You know, he's going to be hanging on the cross pretty soon here. But they're just worried about themselves. And so I think that what Paul's saying to these guys is, and I would say it here today, that you know, be praying for, you know, Jim and Lance and Jim and Jeff, and you know, be praying for them. Hopefully you esteem them highly, because that's what we're called to do. You know, God's placed us over in these positions. And are we perfect? No, but Paul says to value them and recognize that this is something that God has done. And I think that, like that centurion, I think that you know, the true, you know, a good leader, they're not going to be boasting about themselves and so on. But you know what? Their lives are going to show, you know, as they give their lives away. And again, I think an important thing there is among you. I can remember in the 60s, you know, Time Magazine, all the newspapers, you know, wanted to interview Chuck Smith because there are some neat things going on. The world was changing, and God was pouring out His Spirit, and there was a major revival that was spreading out from Southern California, and he refused to be interviewed by him. He said, no, I will not. I will not be on the cover. I won't be in a story in Time Magazine. I will not do those things. I'm not going to take the attention off what God is doing. I do not want the attention on any man. I do not want to steal the glory from the Lord. He just refused to do it. And so I think that the thing that touched me, there are a number of things that drew me to his leadership. But one was I was in his home. I was allowed to be in his home. He welcomed us in his home. He had his home open just about all the time. There were no gates, no bars. Now, I was involved in another. I was going to school in another place. And Kim and I actually went. We had to go through 3 locked gates just to get in to see the one pastor that we wanted to see when we went back after we were married. Just the difference in the two places. And the one place is still serving the Lord, still there. The other place doesn't even exist anymore. The one where it's all was all locked down. It's actually been torn down. It's a park. But boy, at the time, it was a huge deal. Probably the biggest church in America at the time. So that's all I'm saying. You know, esteem them highly. In love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So pray for the leaders, esteem them highly, speak well of them. Now we exhort you, brethren. Paul moves on, he encourages them how really to deal maybe with not trouble, but with some of the weaker members among them. We exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. You know, just the undisciplined ones. Warn them. You know, if we today would see somebody that you know, maybe start down the wrong path, hopefully we'd love them enough that we'd say something to them. Warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. You know, the weaker ones. You know, comfort those that maybe struggle in their faith. They still have questions about their faith. You know, are faced with situations that they're overcome. You know, they're just not strong. Comfort them and encourage them. Uphold the weak. You know, don't push them down. Come alongside them. Uphold them. Encourage them again. And then just be patient with all. You know, we're just patient with one another. Maybe we recognize we're all goofy. We all have our issues. You know, can I accept you even with your issues? Hopefully, yeah. Yeah, because that's what Jesus said to do, right? Jesus said, I was even to love my enemy. You know, hopefully there's no enemies here. But, I mean, he's really challenged us in those ways. Be patient. You know, can we be patient with one another? You know, am I always trying to change someone? Am I always putting, you know, well, you know what, I'll accept you when you become what I want you to be. Well, that's a lot of, that's how a lot of marriages break down, don't they? A lot of relationships. You know, I'm going to make you what I want you to be. Rather, I'm just going to take my hands off and free you to become who you need to be in Jesus. That's what we need to do. I'm just going to take my hands off. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to encourage you to grow in Jesus. Well, there's nothing better than that. Well, we need to do the same with us, you know. So we exhort you in these ways. See that no one renders. I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? You would think that he wouldn't even have to say these things, but I think he needs to say these things. Certainly the Holy Spirit thought it necessary. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Wow. I confess, I want to get him back, right? Who doesn't want to get him back? Be honest, is there anybody here that really doesn't want to get him back? I want to get him back. And the Lord's just saying you can't do it. You can't repay. You can't take vengeance. You can't be be a person of revenge. You can't pay back evil for evil. I like what he says, that just in the church. No, to anyone. Yike. But always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. And then these little things here. How pointed these things are. Look at verse 18 first. Just the second after the semicolon. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I could sit here today and say, well, what's God's will for me today? When I leave, what's God's will? Wow, pretty straightforward. Rejoice always. How many times have I heard it? All I have to do is look in the mirror. No, I just... To me, that's what happens when I read these things. I just look in the mirror. If this is God's will for me, when I look in the mirror, is that what I see? Rejoice always. Am I a person that is always rejoicing? Well, either I'm in the Lord's will or I'm not. What challenges me is when somebody, hey, how you doing? I need to look in the mirror. You know, that's not rejoice. What a testimony. Isn't that, what a horrible testimony, I bet. Because I'm a Christian. I'm Christ-like. And so when they ask me, then it's, that snow out there is horrible, and life is horrible, and this is horrible, and look at the rough life I have. I want to draw attention to myself, and I want, all that, pity, expressed to me, and, oh, you poor thing. But I think what a testimony it is on Jesus. Wow. Jesus isn't very powerful. He can't transform a life. Jesus isn't very good. Look at, he saves these people and just turns their life into one heap of crumbs. Ugh, how horrible. And so Paul just says, you know what? Rejoice always. Rejoice. I mean, I don't know what else I can say. Always means always. Pray without ceasing. Is that the... I'm just looking in the mirror again. Am I a person of prayer? Always praying. I think giving up. How many times? Well, the Lord, I'm so you know, down and out, and life is so horrible, and I might as well not pray anymore. No, pray without ceasing, just keep praying. And then just as I go through my day, you know, how can I pray when I'm working? How can I pray when I'm measuring? How can I pray when I'm running a table saw? How can I pray? See what I'm saying? But I just need to continually be praying. Praying without ceasing. You know, I think that God, I want to do that. I want to move more towards that. I want to be reminded of that. So am I a person? Am I rejoicing always? Am I praying without ceasing? In everything, give thanks. Wow. That's a rough one. And I just think, I mean, the things you... Certainly, we're not giving thanks for everything. You know, I'm not thankful I don't have any knees anymore and I don't, you know, have a wrist any... You know, I'm not thankful that I'm old and rickety. But I hopefully am thankful in it. In everything. In everything, give thanks. God, look at what you're doing. Look at who you are. Look at how wonderful you are. Lord, I don't see the end. But you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, just those first three things. That keep me busy the rest of my life, really. You know, just trying to be faithful, halfway faithful in those things. Well, that's pretty simple. I don't need, you know, this huge thing out there. You know, that's why I love Jesus. You know, just love me today. I think if he was here today, John, the Apostle John, they say that the last, really, 8 years, 5 to 8 years of his life, they carried him. All they did, they put him on this stretcher. They carried him from church to church. And he would go into the church, and the church would say, oh, the Apostle John's here. Oh, what a neat teaching we're going to receive today. And what I've read is that John, as they would bring him in, he would just say one sentence. Little children, love one another. That's it. And then you leave. Wow. How powerful. You know, if Jesus was here, he'd probably say, you know what, just love me. Love me, love me, love me. Love me with all that you are, all that you have. I think that's it. Right? Doesn't have to get too much more complicated than that. And I think just how simple these things are. You know, that I just be loving God, that I be aware of Him, that I be desiring to be living, you know, with Him and in Him. Again, Lord, help me. Help me to rejoice more. Help me to pray more. Help me to be more consistent in those things. Help me to refuse to criticize. Help me to refuse to always just be negative. Help me to refuse to just murmur and complain all the time. Lord, help me to rejoice. Help me to pray. Help me to give thanks. And then he goes on. There's some other little tidbits, I guess. Don't you love Timbits? I just thought of that. I love them. How many? I love the blueberry ones. Just give me the blueberry Timbits. I will eat them all in one sitting. Do not quench the spirit. These little do not quench the spirit. I think how often I've quenched the spirit. How often I've squished. I quench the spirit when I quench someone else's spirit. Hey, how you doing? I've been having a great
morning.
Oh, geez, I guess I shouldn't have been having such a great morning. I guess everything isn't all right. Yeah, how often we do that? I just think of when we not only quench the Spirit, we grieve the Spirit. You know, we grieve the Spirit when we deny the truth of the Word. I quench the Spirit whenever I'm not rejoicing, whenever I'm murmuring, whenever I'm complaining, whenever I'm criticizing, whenever I'm in that dark away place, I tend to, you know, navigate to. And man, I do not want to quench the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that does, the Spirit testifies of Jesus. That is His ministry. And I think, man, when I quench the Spirit, I'm really doing damage. Doing damage to the things of the Lord, doing damage to people's lives. Because I'm squishing the truth of who Jesus is in their lives. I'm misrepresenting the truth of who Jesus is. Don't quench the Spirit. When I deny the things of God, when I deny the things of the Spirit, when I deny the gifts of the Spirit, when I, you know, any of that quenches the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Again, 27% of the Scripture is prophecy. 27%. And so when I deny the truth of the Word, you know, when I don't, you know, want to touch those things, well, I can't understand them, or that's radical, or that's, you know, really these guys, they don't believe them. That's why they don't preach it. You know, they believe that they're going to establish the kingdom on earth. They believe that the church is going to, you know, establish, you know, save America or whatever their deal is. And it's all false. They're denying the prophecies. They're despising the prophecies of God. And so do not despise the prophecies. I think we need to be in them. We just went through the truth of Jesus coming again. We need to be reminded of that every day. We need to have, again, Maranatha. That's got to be a watchword in our lives. Lord, come, come quickly. I'm not denying the truth of the Word. I'm not despising the prophecies. Oh, Lord, you know, you said that 2,000 years ago. Oh, Lord, in the 60s, that was, everybody was thinking about it. It hasn't happened. It's been 50 years. Oh, this is ridiculous. You know, I don't want to be way out there on some tangent. It's not a tangent. When you think about the next great, you know, the next time God's going to interject Himself into human history, that's it. I believe it's the rapture. It's next on the plate. We should be wanting it. We should be looking forward to it. We should be expecting it. Boy, again, it just changes the whole life. I don't need to accumulate certain things. I got a lot of stuff. I'm just talking stuff. But I don't need it. Jesus is coming. It's all going to burn anyway. Here's a good one. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Test everything. Just because it's a book and it's on the bestseller, Christian bestseller list, doesn't mean that it's good. Just the truth. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Test what we say today. Have we deviated from the scriptures? Test what we believe. You know, what are we teaching? Am I teaching you go out and march? You know, am I teaching you that the church is going to, you know, issue in the kingdom? Am I teaching you that we can change things and save the world through a political party? Am I teaching you that Israel is no longer, that the church is Israel? Am I teaching you that the gifts aren't for today? Well, some of them are, but some of them aren't, like the gift of tongues and certain things like that. No, we're not teaching any of that. You know, test what we're teaching. You know, test what some of the doctrines are. You know, what do you really believe? I think it's important. I think, you know, we did things in Galatians, remember? I mean, he's one of the biggest pastors. Again, test it. Test all things. Hold fast to the good. This is a hard one here. Abstain from every form of evil. Yeah, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say I can't do that in the Bible. I can, you know, I'm free. I'm at liberty. Well, is it if I'm doing it? If I do that, could it be perceived as evil? Whoa, never thought of that. Abstain from even the form of evil. Wow. That makes a little bit of a difference. You know, that brings it down to some of the things that Jesus said. If I'm not watching my eyes as a guy, I can really be in trouble. Wow. That's right. I can be committing adultery as a guy. Pretty doggone easy. Oh, but I've never jumped in bed with... Oh, yeah. But boy, in my mind I have. And Jesus said, if I've done it, I've committed adultery. Abstain from even the appearance, every form of evil. And that gets down to some pretty heavy things. I've got to watch what I'm relying upon, what I'm even encouraging people in. When it comes to health, when it comes to mental health, when it comes to spiritual health. There are a lot of forms of evil out there. And I've got to abstain from them. I've got to stay away from them. I can't be a part of them. And some of your translations might even say appearance. And so it's easy, you know, to... doesn't have to mean that I am even doing maybe something, but does it appear that I'm doing it? Paul's saying stay away from it. So it's just, a higher level. And I think we could go back and say verse 22, 21, 20, and 19 also, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this is God's will. And so, God help us. God help us to just be in love with Jesus and Lord, to be growing, to be in intimacy with Him, and Lord, to really be excited about Him, and to be, you know, I have to be honest, I don't get excited about meetings I guess I don't even get excited about church. You know, like I wasn't necessarily excited about, you know, coming here today necessarily. I was excited about Jesus. I was excited that see, Jesus is the one that excites me. Jesus is the one that's the reason I want to come here. Now, you came probably too. You know what? I wasn't under a lot of pressure today. From you, I try not to. You know what? I don't have to perform for you. If I read the Word and talk about the Word, then the Holy Spirit will teach us.
That's right.
And so sometimes I do get excited about the Word and at certain points and stuff. But I want you to understand too, is I don't stay in front of the mirror, you know, all week and like kind of act this out. You know, I'm going to kind of get excited here, you know, and you know, I'll whip them up here, there. You know, it just isn't going to happen. I just can't do that. All right, so I'm being honest. When I talk about these things, 100% of the time, most of the time I'm talking about myself, because when I study this stuff, it convicts me. Then I just share what you know, really what God's doing with me. I need to rejoice more. One thing I need to do is when other people, sometimes I am kind of up, and I'll say something or I'll be in the presence of, and then I get there. I can immediately be doing good and then be right down there. And part of that is because we're guys, and you know what? That's part of our toughness or a manhood, I guess. You know, this is not good, and life is. So I need to rejoice more. I need to. I can always pray more. I want to pray more when I'm working. The Lord convicted me a while ago. This is just something simple. It was an idol. It might still be. God's still dealing with me with it. But I'd be working, and I'm being honest, the only way I could get through work, I hated it so bad. I'm just being honest with you. I hated it so bad. Then I would begin to fantasize, and all I would do is think about being in the mountains in Colorado hunting, because I'm just being honest, that's my favorite thing to do. I would go there. In fact, I started just automatically going there. I'd go to work, automatically, I'd just go there all day. And then I'd be thinking, you know what, it's like right now, it's February. Oh, 5 more months, I'll be there. 5 more months. Oh, isn't it fun? Oh. And finally, the Lord convicted me. And really, like, showed me how wrong that was. You know, that I did not see purpose in what where he had me, how he had me, the whole thing. That I was in sin. That my attitude stunk so bad. I need to pray. I need to be giving thanks, not quenching the spirit, not despising prophecies, testing everything, holding fast that which, abstaining from every appearance of evil. And then Paul finishes it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. Guys, you're sanctified. You are saved. Just grow in Jesus now. Grow. Choose. Live in your relationship with the Lord. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's neat is that he's going to do that. He's going to preserve us. He's going to keep us. Why shouldn't I be rejoicing in that? Lord, I'm such a failure. I'm so weak in these things. And yet you're upholding me. You're enabling me. He who calls you is faithful. God is so so faithful. And look how what he says. He will do it. He will do it. He's done it. He will do it. So may now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Wow. You and I are. I think Paul's just saying, man, just stay in there. Just be more intimate. He who calls you is faithful. He's going to do it. I won't read it. Jude 24, that's one of my favorite verses. To him who is able to present you and me. He's Jesus going to present us to the Father. Blameless. Oh. With exceeding joy. Wow. The Lord's going to do it. Brethren, pray for us. We should pray for one another. Please pray for. Commit. I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to pray for you this week. I'm going to think of you this week. Before we leave, let's do this. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Not really. No, let's not do that part. Again, back then, that was the greeting. That was how they would greet one another then. I would say, you know, it's okay to give each other a hug if you want. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Wow. The grace of the Lord is enough. The grace, His grace sustains us. His grace keeps us. He's preserving us. He's accomplishing a great work in us. Lord, help me just to walk in your will. Help me to rejoice. Help me to pray. Help me to give thanks. Help me to be faithful, Lord. You know what? I just want to be about the work of the gospel. Man, there's nothing more positive than that. I'm just sharing the gospel. I'm sharing life with these people. With whoever I meet. Isn't that something that we have life, real life, and it's our privilege just to always be sharing that, to be living it. Lord, help me live it in my real life, my everyday grind life. Help me to be alive. Wow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for encouraging us and, if necessary, convicting us. And Lord, just teaching us today. Lord, help us to leave here taking some of this stuff, maybe all of it, maybe a point or two. Lord, that there might be, as Paul prayed there at the end, in essence, a sanctifying of that, maybe that point. Lord, that point would become a part of my life. Lord, that I'd be aware of it. Lord, if there's a particular area in my life, Lord, that is I'm weak in or I struggle with, and it's destroying my witness, or Lord, just keeping me down, Lord, show me. Lord, that I could repent, and Lord, just allow you. Lord, help me to know, just to cling, Lord, to the truths of what we've read here. Lord, I think of that, those last couple sentences. Lord, how faithful you are. If nothing else, I should be able to rejoice every day in that. Lord, you're faithful. You're faithful to your word. You're faithful to accomplish, Lord, what you said you were going to accomplish, Lord, in each of our lives. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, as we close this morning, Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for one another. Lord, just as even in our minds, we picture different ones here, how thankful we are for them. Lord, we lift them up, encourage them. Continue your good work in them. Lord, give us opportunity this week, Lord, just again, to bring life and share life with those we come in contact with. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.